For the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about believing is seeing. Now, you may have heard it the other way around, seeing is believing. But there are a couple of resurrection stories and some other stories in the Gospels that lead us to believe that maybe when we follow God, something else is in store for us. And our scripture lesson today comes to us from John chapter 20. And if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along with me. I'm going to begin with John chapter 20. I'm going to read starting at verse 24, and I'm going to read down through the end of the chapter. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. The others told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound, into my side. Don't be faithless any longer, but believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of his holy word, and let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the way that your Spirit has moved in our worship service thus far. And we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to move among us. And Lord, I pray that in the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, we ask that you would open our ears, open our minds, but most of all, dear God, that you'd open our hearts, that what you have for us today, Lord, might be more than just words of information, but indeed, Lord, we pray that your words might be transforming to us and to our lives. And as we leave here today, as people who have been transformed by your word, may we go out into the world and share that word with others. All this we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, saying amen. When I was the age of 23, I was given the keys to a Kroger store and told that I was the manager. Actually, I was one of the three managers in the store. But it was interesting as I went into store management with Kroger, how much I found out that I still needed to learn, despite the fact that I thought I was pretty well trained. I had a college degree. I'd been through the training program, the extensive training program that Kroger had at that time, and I thought I pretty much knew. I never forget one of the first store managers I worked for. His name was William Burns. He was a big, tall guy, and he walked with a limp because he'd hurt his leg in the war. And he had a strong southern accent. And Mr. Burns was a guy that I really respected. But I never forget one time he came up to me and he walked up to me and he put his arm around me and he said, "Mr. Potts, I've got to teach you something very important about your employees." And I said, "What's that, Mr. Burns?" Well, it seemed that the night before that one of the employees had told me that they had completed their assigned task when indeed they hadn't done any of them, not one of them. And Mr. Burns had come in the next morning and said, somebody is not paying attention to what is going on here, And that somebody was me, right? And he said, "Now you need to understand, Mr. Potts, that I'm from Missouri." And he said, "You know what that means when somebody says they're from Missouri?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "It means that when an employee tells them something, they're going to go behind that employee and make sure it's true." He said, "Now, I like you, Mr. Potts." He said, "But if you told me that door over there was locked, I'd say, thank you very much." He said, "Before I leave, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to rattle that door just to make sure. Just to make sure." And I learned a very important lesson that day. And the lesson that I learned is that sometimes you can't just go by what somebody says. You better check it out for yourself. Amen? I mean, that's what being from Missouri is about. Well, I don't know if people from Missouri really like that. I'm sure they are. They call it the Show Me State, after all. But what I do know is that we give Thomas a really bad time. This label has come down about the disciple Thomas, and we call him sometimes Doubting Thomas. But you know, all Thomas wanted was what every other one of the disciples got. He wanted to see what they saw, and he was not willing to take their word for it. He wanted to go see it himself. He wanted to know that Jesus was really alive. You see, what we know about Thomas is that Thomas was not a faithless person. Earlier in the Gospel of John, when they're going towards Jerusalem, Thomas is the one who says, "Let's go too, so we might die with him." He was not a person without faith. He just wanted to see so that he could believe. He wanted to see so that he could believe. Now, the interesting thing is that Thomas got his wish not long after the rest of the disciples came and said to him, "We've seen the Lord." And it's fascinating to me that if you think about the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, in this resurrection appearance, we sometimes think that Jesus, when he was resurrected, that he had some kind of new body. And obviously his body was different because he could appear behind locked doors. He could do things that nobody could do. He could seemingly come and go as he pleased. But it's fascinating to me in this story that when Jesus appears to the disciples, he looks at Thomas and he says, "Look, put your hands and your fingers in the nail holes. Put your hand in the wound in my side." It's interesting to me that the resurrected Jesus still carried the wounds, the scars, if you will, from the cross. He still had those. He still had them. Of course, Thomas didn't have to do any of the things that he said he was going to do, because as soon as he sees Jesus, what does he do? He falls on his knees and he says, "My Lord and my God." He is the very first person in the Gospel of John to recognize what John wrote in the very first chapter of his Gospel, that the Word was God. Thomas recognized it. But it's interesting to me what Jesus has to say after this whole experience. Jesus does not berate Thomas for what he asked for. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave him what he asked for. But isn't it interesting what Jesus says to Thomas following this whole passage, following this whole exchange? Jesus says, "You have seen me and you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You see, Jesus recognized something very important, and I think what Jesus was trying to teach the disciples, and perhaps what Jesus is trying to teach us, is that sometimes seeing, yes, is believing, but other times, very importantly, believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. It's about what we believe that causes us to be able to see something. And that's no more true than when it comes to our faith and our faith in Christ. I want to read you what 1 Peter has to say about this. This is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Peter says, you love him even though you have never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. You see, Peter thinks it's a good thing. Now, Peter was one of the disciples who got to see Jesus, but he thinks it's a good thing. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And you know, one of the things that I think is very important is our outlook and how we view things. Now, I have a natural bent to be cynical. Part of it was brought on by my training with Mr. Burns and others who said, don't believe what people say, but check it out for yourself. But part of that I had way before then. And I want to know. I want to have that experience. I want to go up to the door, rattle it, and make sure it's still locked. But the interesting thing about being a disciple is that we do not always get that, do we? We don't. We don't get that. And sometimes I'm not sure that it would be helpful if we did get that, if we did actually. I mean, if Jesus could come right before us right now, we could stand there and we could you know, put our fingers in the nails holes and put our hands inside. I'm not sure it would help. I'm not sure it would help. Because what I think that Jesus was trying to say to the disciples, and maybe what Jesus is trying to say to us, is that when you believe, you will see. When you believe, you will see. Believing is seeing. There's a woman named Crystal Jones who joined Teach for America in 2003. If you're not familiar with Teach for America, this is a program that takes young teachers and places them in schools that nobody else wants to go to. Crystal Jones ended up in a school in Atlanta, Georgia, an inner city school, teaching first grade. Most of her first graders had not been to kindergarten, and she was the very first teacher that they ever knew. And I just want to read her description of what it was like in the beginning days of teaching first grade in inner city Atlanta. She said, I had two or three students who could recognize kindergarten sight words and also had some that couldn't even hold their pencils. They didn't even know how to hold their pencils. The ones who had never been to school, their basic behavior wasn't where it needed to be for them to even be in the classroom. I had students that, of course, didn't know their alphabet or their numbers. They were all on different levels, and no one was really where they needed to be for first grade. Can you imagine? Can you imagine walking into this situation, you know, and you got all these first graders, most of whom were around 6 years old, never had a teacher before, never been in class before. Some of them don't know how to hold a pencil, and you've got to teach them. Well, Crystal Jones did something very, very interesting. What she did is she told her class in those first few weeks, she said, you know what? You all have the opportunity to become third graders. Now, I don't know if you really understand what this means, but think about this when you're a first grader and it's your first time in school. And you're just a little tyke, and here you are, and you're walking around, and you see third graders, and they look like Olympic athletes. Don't they? I mean, they really do. You know, they're older, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're wiser. And as soon as Crystal Jones started to tell those first graders, you can become third graders, she got their attention. And she began to teach them, and she began to tell them, she said, you know, you guys are scholars. And that's the only thing that you're allowed to refer to each other as anymore. You are scholars. And every time somebody came in the classroom, she'd have them shout this. A scholar is someone who lives to learn and is good at it. A scholar is someone who lives to learn and is good at it. And she, before too long, had those children believing that they actually were going to be third graders. And it was their belief that carried them. And believe it or not, right before spring break, most all the class were already reading at a second grade level. So what did she do? Well, they had second grade graduation, of course, right before they went on spring break. She had second grade graduation, told them all that they were now second graders, and it pumped them up even more. And the interesting end of this story is that by the end of that year, those children, who I just read to you out of that book, some of them didn't know their alphabet, didn't know their numbers, some of them couldn't carry a pencil, never been in class before, 90% of those kids read on a third grade level. 90% read on a third grade level. Now, why is that? Why was that? I mean, why did this happen? Well, it happened because they started to believe that they could. She was the first person probably to ever tell them that they could do anything. Because, you know, what happens sometimes to us as parents, and it's true, we have to do this, is that we say, you can't do that a lot, don't we? Right? That's kind of what we do. We try to draw boundaries around our children. We say, you can't do that. And this is probably the first person that ever told them, you can. You can do this. You can be this. It's interesting because in the book that I got the story out of, this book called Switch by these guys named Chip and Dan Heath, in this book they call that the destination postcard. They call that the destination postcard. They say you got to have a postcard with the destination where you're headed on it. And it's like every now and then you get a postcard from that place, right? Well, guess what? What we got in the resurrection of Jesus is the destination postcard. We got the destination postcard. When Jesus was resurrected, we got the destination postcard. And the interesting thing about having that destination postcard is that I believe that when Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, he knew that it was going to be better for those of us who had not seen yet believed. Because he knew the more that we believed, the more that we would see. Now I want to be very careful here because there's some stinky theology that goes on around us. And one of these stinky theologies is called the prosperity gospel. It says if you just believe that you can have money, money will flow to you. And that never happens. I just want to make that clear. That never happens. It's like the guy who was praying to God one time and he said, Lord, you know, I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling. And I'm doing the best I can. And I'm working hard, but I can never get caught up. And Lord, it would be a great thing if I could just win the lottery. Lord, if you could just grant me that, if I could win the lottery, Lord, it would be a great thing. And was silence for a few minutes. And then the Lord answered back and he said, you know, that's great. You're working hard, that you know, you're trying to do your best and that you want to win the lottery, but I need your help. And the man said, what do I need to do, Lord? And God said, buy a lottery ticket. Buy a lottery ticket, right? You know, sometimes it's not about what we are doing. Sometimes things happen around us that are out of control, and sometimes I believe that almost everything that happens around us is out of our control in one way or another. But there is a lot that we can control. And one of the most important things we can control is our attitude and what we believe. And what we believe. Because you see, now that we have the destination postcard, now that we know that Jesus is risen, now that we have that destination postcard, we can truly understand what caused Paul to write in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. We understand that because we're holding the destination postcard. If we weren't holding the postcard, it wouldn't make any sense, but we're holding that. And what that means is that somehow, even in the darkest of situations, even in times when we feel like we're being crucified, even in the darkest situation, God is always at work. God is always at work. God is always working. And it fascinates me how many times that we're in the midst of something dreadful and God pulls something good out of that. God pulls something good out of that. Now, again, let's be clear. You know, you can believe a lot of things. You can believe that you're Superman and go downtown and jump off the Batman building. When Jesus had that temptation, which occurs in the Gospels, to stand on the top of the temple, the highest place in Jerusalem, and jump off so that God would take care of him, Jesus said what? Don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't do that. But I think what happened to Thomas was this. Thomas wanted to see what everybody else saw. He wanted to know what it was like to see the risen Jesus Christ. And that's what he asked for. And that's what God gave him. And I believe each and every time that we, with a humble heart, ask God, not for what we want, but for what we need, for what we really need, God answers that. Now, sometimes God doesn't answer it immediately, which frustrates us, doesn't it? Because we live in a time where we can have instant everything, just like that. But sometimes God wants us to look down the road. And sometimes God wants us to exercise this muscle that we all have that sometimes we don't like to exercise. And it's called the faith muscle. It's called the faith muscle. God says, you know, okay, this is what you're asking for, but I need you to walk with me for a while to make sure that that's what you want. I need you to walk with me for a while. I need you to hang with me. I need you to stay with me. I need you to keep asking for that. I need you to believe that all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so what do? Well, in that case, you got the destination postcard and you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep doing whatever I need to do in this situation, whatever that is. And if that situation, if it's to the point where the only thing I can do, the only thing left to do is pray, then Lord, I'm going to keep praying. And I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to hang on to the destination postcard, because what I know is that when I have the destination postcard, when I have the Easter people postcard, when I'm holding that, that nothing else really matters anyway. Amen? It doesn't. It doesn't. And you begin to understand what Jesus was talking about when he said, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Because folks, I really think that we are Easter people. We are people who have encountered the risen Lord in one way or another. And the fascinating thing is that the more that we believe that the risen Lord is around us, the more he is there for us to encounter in places we never, ever, ever thought we would see him. And not only do we see him at work, we also know that no matter what's going on, no matter what's swirling around us, how bad it might be, how tough it might be, that God is with us. That God is with us, and that God is not going to leave us. And we keep walking on that journey because we have the destination postcard and we are Easter people. So may we learn something today. May we learn something from our friend Thomas the Apostle. And may we learn something from Jesus today. We always say that seeing is believing, and sometimes that's true. But have you ever known somebody who, despite the fact that they had all the evidence in the world laid out before them, they could see it, they didn't believe it anyway? That's because belief is powerful. Belief is powerful. But what God wants from us, I believe, is to be people who know that believing is seeing. And that the more we believe, the more we will see God work for our good and for the good of others as we go down the road. Now, that again, let's be very clear here. That doesn't mean we're going to get everything we want. And people who are preaching that and teaching that are wrong. But it does mean that no matter the circumstances, no matter what's going on, it's just like Paul wrote in Romans, all things work together for good somehow for those that love God, for those that hang on to the destination postcard, for those who believe that they are Easter people, for those who know that God is with them. All things work together for good. And so maybe, my friends, it's not all about seeing is believing. Maybe it's not all about being from Missouri. Maybe it's not all about what we can see. But maybe if we believe in the resurrected Lord, we will truly be able to see God at work everywhere we go. Amen.